Good evening. My name's Garland Nixon, and I'm right here with
Mark Levine.
And the name of the show is News Views. We're on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m., and we got lots of things to talk about. And, of course, part of the views would be yours. Mark and I give our,
as always,
our views, our humble views. Not that our views
not that we're necessarily
humble.
That humble.
Yeah, we're not really humble, but, you know, we at least...
Anyone who says they're humble isn't.
Just you're right. Just claiming to be humble is a kind of an arrogant thing to do.
I think so.
Yeah, so, you know, that kind of negates the humility.
Isn't
that a kind of paradoxical thing going on there? But at any rate, I digress. We got plenty to talk about. We're going to start off tonight talking about one of our hometown guys here who writes for the Washington Post. And Lord knows, if you know anything about Richard Cohen, the crap that he's written. You know, he's one of these. This is what kills me, Mark. You get some people in the media who claim the term liberal, but they're always writing in favor of the Iraq War or in favor of the guy that shot Trayvon Martin. You know, you get people claiming to be liberal, but when you look at a lot of these issues, and I'm talking about Richard Cohen.
Yeah.
If he's a liberal, I don't know, you know, what does that make Rush Limbaugh? Here's a guy who, over the course of time, has basically said, you know, the Iraq War is exactly what we need to do. Here's a guy who, when Trayvon Martin got shot, basically said that, you know, he understood why Zimmerman looked at him and why, with all these black criminals around here, and you see a black guy, why wouldn't you think he was a criminal and shoot him, basically? I mean, I'm not – to say that I'm no Richard Cohen fan is the – would be a drastic understatement.
Go ahead, tell him what the recent op-ed is.
Okay,
because I think he misspoke in that one.
Here's the thing about it. There are a couple things going on. Let's talk about the op-ed. He's gotten a lot of heat, and let me read his op-ed, and let me tell you my problems with it.
Because when you read the entire op-ed, I think that it's all about one word that he misused.
Not really.
The word conventional.
Okay, there are a couple things.
You take out the word conventional, and you say the conservative. Change conventional to conservative, and the whole thing flows nicely.
Right, but I mean, if you change the word murder to assault, then you got two different cases, don't you?
No, but if you read the entire article,
let me read this.
Read the part.
And tell you why I have a problem with this. This is, and remember this sentence: today's GOP is not racist. So he starts off in this particular section saying today's GOP is not racist.
After just detailing in the previous eight paragraphs how racist they are,
right. So then he says they're not racist.
The Tea Party is.
Right.
But not the GOP.
Yeah. So
he's saying the Tea Party is racist, but the GOP is not.
That's right. So that's like saying that guy's a racist, but his left arm isn't. I just don't buy that. You know what I mean? So now he's going to separate the Tea Party from the Republican Party. You know, the Republican Party created the Tea Party. They fed the Tea Party.
Yep.
They fueled the Tea Party. And they used the votes of the Tea Party to take Congress and to go around the country and to reapportion the congressional districts so they could get more representation than they justifiably deserve. So we can't possibly say that the Tea Party isn't part. And in fact, I'll go one further. The Tea Party is controlling the Republican Party in the House to a large extent over the last year.
Yes, but they don't like it.
They've controlled the agenda.
So the Republicans are mad at the fact that they have to obey whatever the Tea Party does.
Isn't that amazing? They created, you know, the Frankenstein monster.
That's exactly what it is. It's Frankenstein's monster.
They created it, and
it went beyond their control.
Now it's coming back to kill them. You know,
that's
the monster grabs you and throws you out the window when the castle is on fire.
That's right.
Okay, and so at any rate, enough of these old monster movie-related metaphors. So let me go on. So he writes, today's GOP is not racist, as Harry Belafonte alleged about the Tea Party, but it is deeply troubled about the expansion of government, about immigration, about secularism, about the mainstreaming of what used to be the avant-garde. Listen carefully. Now, he just said they're not racist. Okay? People with conventional views must repress a gag reflex when considering the mayor-elect of New York, a white man married to a black woman with two biracial children. Should I mention that Bill de Blasio's wife, Charlene McRae, used to be a lesbian? Should I mention? You mentioned it. You know, should I mention that blah, 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 blah? Well, you just mentioned it in a column that's one of the largest newspapers in the world. And you said, should I mention? That's pretty absurd. Okay. This family represents the cultural changes that have enveloped parts, but not all, of America. To cultural conservatives, this doesn't look like their country at all. Now, let me start with this. He starts off by saying it's not racist. And let me add one thing. So he uses the word conventional here. Let me find this here. Let me find this. Because he uses the word conventional. And I have...
He wrote the wrong word.
Yeah. Okay. So he used the word conventional. The word conventional means... based on or in accordance with what is generally done or believed. So if he said unconventional, then he'd have been getting somewhere. But he said conventional. This guy does, he words is what he does for a living. To claim that this guy doesn't know what conventional you means or misuse the word conventional.
Here's what I think he means. If you go through the article, all right, first paragraph, he talks about the fact that Chris Christie's too moderate for the Republicans to vote for.
Okay.
Okay. Then he goes on to say that in Iowa, the conservatives love Ted Cruz.
Okay.
And Sarah Palin. And they think that Cruz can win and that he opposes same-sex marriage. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then he goes on to say that Christie can't win because he's not a Christian conservative. He goes on to say that Iowa suggests something more ominous. The Dixiecrats of old.
Okay.
He's saying the Tea Party is just like Strom Thurmond's segregationist party that broke away, didn't give a damn about winning, just wanted to basically keep institutions.
Segregation today, tomorrow.
And that's what he says. They wanted to retain institutional legal racism.
Okay.
They saw their way of life as under attack and they feared its loss. Their way of life. 50s, white. Racist,
hierarchical society
where they're
at the top of the totem pole and black people are
then
at the bottom.
He goes on to say that today's GOP is not racist.
Oh, no.
But people, and I think he should have said with these views, have to repress their gag reflex. I don't think he's talking about all of us because he goes on to say that this family represents the cultural changes that envelop all of us, but to cultural conservatives, this doesn't look like their country at all. He goes on to say, as with the Dixiecrats, the fight's not about a particular program. He talks about Merle Haggard singing Are the Good Times Really Over? And the Tea Party listening to this more than 2 million times. It could be the Tea Party's anthem. And he concludes by saying Christie is too joisy, which means Italian, ethnic, for the Tea Party, too brash. What he's saying is that I think he's calling them racist, and he was speaking in the way of thinking, trying to express how they think. And it was obviously inartfully worded, and he shouldn't have written it that way. But if you read the context of the entire article, I think he's actually attacking the Tea Party for being racist and clearly explaining how they see the world in this white bread, leave it to Beaver type world. But I don't think he's saying that he has those views. And that's what he said about the article later. Although, I will grant you, it may have been conventional in the 50s. It's hardly conventional now to oppose interracial marriage.
And I would argue that when he says today's GOP is not racist, it makes it hard to argue, A, that he's saying that the Tea Party is not racist because the Tea Party and the GOP.
I think he's saying the Tea Party is racist. He just called them the Dixiecrats.
But he just says the GOP is not racist. So you're saying that he is separating the Tea Party. But I say that doesn't make sense.
Well, but it does because Chris Christie is Republican, but he's not Tea Party.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a lot of issues with Chris Christie. I don't know that anyone's ever called him racist. He's anti-union. He's
a right wing.
He's a right wing. Yeah, he is. But I don't think he's Tea Party, and I don't think he's racist. So, look, you chose this article. I'm not out to defend Richard Cohen. But when I read the entire article and then I read all the flack about it, I think it's a case of a guy who tries to say provocative things and misspoke.
I don't think he misspoke. And let me tell you. So the word conventional means exactly what the opposite of what he's claiming that it means.
Well, he's saying in their minds it's conventional.
You're right. When in fact
that's how I see it. When when they listen to Merle Haggard's song, The Good Times Are Over, the good times for them was white supremacy. That was their good time.
What I find odd is
that was their convention.
People with conventional views.
I know.
He does not.
Now,
and let me say this.
I'm not defending him.
I'm going to hold him responsible for what those words mean. And let me tell you why. Because Okay, this is what he does for a living. He is a professional writer.
Yeah.
And I will not accept any professional writer saying, I used the wrong word. I didn't know what conventional mean. You know, if he said, I didn't know what hypo-disestablishmentarism meant, I would say that's a pretty long word. Not most people don't know what it means. But to say, I don't know what conventional means, that is the equivalent. I'm looking at, Patrick Ewing or Michael Jordan or, you know, Charles Barkley going down the basketball court, running down the basketball court, stepping out of bounds, and the referee says, okay, you know, you don't have the ball anymore. You got to give it to the other team. And him saying, really? I didn't know if you stepped out of bounds that you didn't keep the ball. You're a professional basketball player. You've been playing basketball your entire life.
Right.
You know good and well if you step on the out-of-bounds line, you lose the basketball, number one. And number two,
but they still do.
Nobody's going to believe.
By accident.
Yeah, but they don't say, well, I didn't know if you stepped on the out-of-bounds. I didn't know you couldn't travel with the basketball. You mean you can't punch the other guy? They call that a foul? Who would have ever thunk it? So to me, a professional on the level, this man writes for the Washington Post. And for him to argue, well, you know, that word conventional, I was perplexed by it. And that's not.
Perplexed.
Let me go one further.
All
I'm mad at the Post. Well, I'm not reading the Post. I'm lucky to even say the word. I would not line my bird cage, if I had a bird, with the Washington Post right now. Because bird poop is too good for it. But at any rate, my point being this, he's got an editor. So now,
the editor has said that it was inartfully edited.
Inartfully.
That's a quote.
So we've got a bunch of guys with master's degrees in English, guys who could teach English at Georgetown or Harvard, guys who have been doing this for untold dozens of years. All of a sudden, they're ignorant of what the word conventional means. All of a sudden, he looks at it and like, well, I just can't imagine that somebody would think
saying.
That conventional meant conventional.
Nick Garland, what he's saying is that as I read the article in the full context of the whole thing, which is mostly about why Chris Christie is too moderate for today's racist Tea Party, he's saying that in their racist Tea Party Dixiecrat minds, and he calls them Dixiecrats, for them, they have a gag reflex when they think about interracial marriage. And I think they probably do. Now, did he phrase it to make it clear he was talking only about the Tea Party people? No! Should he have? Of course. Was it a badly written column? Yes. But if you read the
Well, all of his columns are badly written. Well, Let's not even go there.
He wasn't saying he has a gag reflex.
No, he said people with conventional views. Now, Mark.
Conventional in the sense that you could argue inartfully that 1950s
very inartfully.
Leave It to Beaver views were conventional. In the 1950s, those were conventional views. Segregation was conventional views in the South. Dixiecrat racism and, I mean, heck, slavery at one time was a conventional view. It was the, you know, Jim Crow Alabama. I think that's really what he was saying, again, just because I read the whole article.
Right.
But
and I did too.
I mean, obviously, I that was the wrong way to write it.
Yeah,
I'm not defending the writing of it.
Here's what I'm going to hold him responsible for. The word conventional meaning, as the Webster's Dictionary says, based on or in accordance with what is generally done or believed. I'm going to hold him responsible because based on what he does for a living, we have a right. When you read the Washington Post, you have a right to hold the writers responsible for the literal meaning of a word unless they clearly say this is a metaphor, this is a simile, this is something other than what I mean. When they say, well, you know, I could write this article, well, you know, people, blah, 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 and then say, but, you know, people with conventional views think that all white people should be hanged, but, you know, I don't consider them racist. No. And then later on say, well, when I said conventional views, what I really meant was unconventional views. No. So I say I have no defense for him. And even worse, you know, here's the thing. What's worse, there's one thing worse than Richard Cohen, and that is the editor who read it and looked at it and said, let me read this. Well, you know, this is one heck of a column. People with conventional views will gag when they see it. Now that, my friend, is good work. That's going in tomorrow's, you know, that's going in A1 right there, buddy. And nobody looked at it. The editor never thought to himself, maybe, just maybe, we may be a little over the top here. I don't know, Mark. That's where I am. As you can tell,
you know,
I'm being rather animated about
it. You know, I
cross my cookies.
I guess I think there's a lot worse things going on than this column. It made me cringe when I read that paragraph. But I just think in the context of the whole article, that's what he was talking about. I don't think he wasn't saying those were his views. He's saying that's their way of looking at life.
Maybe you think
I'm just apologizing.
No. But, I understand.
But if you read the whole article, he's called the Tea Party racist. He's called them Dixiecrats. Mm-hmm. You know what? No one today uses the term Dixiecrat favorably.
Right.
That's not a compliment to anybody.
Right.
So the fact that he's saying that, and then he uses this sentence inartfully.
Here's the thing. And he said
afterwards that that's what he meant.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no doubt. You know, you ever notice when somebody gets caught robbing a bank, they say they made a mistake? Well, you know, or some politician gets caught like the Toronto mayor, whatever, smoking crack or something like that. You know, I made a mistake. And I always say, no, it wasn't a mistake. You know what a mistake is, Mark? A mistake is when you're walking across the yard and you step on a rake and it comes up and bangs you in the forehead. That's a mistake. Well, you slip on the leaves and you hit your head on the side of the house. That's a mistake. When you deliberately do something and then after somebody catches you and brings it to your attention and say, aha, and then you say it was a mistake. No, it was an intentional act, and you are unhappy that now you have to face the music.
So here's what Cohen said after the controversy. He said, quote, I don't understand it. What I was doing was expressing not my own views, but those of extreme right-wing Republican Tea Party people. I don't have a problem with interracial marriage or same-sex marriage. In fact, I exult in them. It's a slander to suggest otherwise. This is just below the belt. It's a purposeful misreading of what I wrote.
Read the first sentence again, Mark.
He said, I don't understand it. What I was doing was expressing not my own views, but those of extreme right-wing Republican Tea Party people.
So let me – I just want to understand this. When he said people with conventional views, what he's saying is, well, when I said people with conventional views, what I mean was extreme right-wing Republican Tea Party people. So
because the paragraph before talks about them. I mean, again, it was badly written.
It's like
I'm not going to defend the way he wrote it.
That's garbage as an excuse. It's like me saying, you know, Mark, when I said mouse, I meant an elephant. No, you wouldn't say elephant if you would have said, you know, when I said black, I meant white. When I said short, I meant tall. When I said normal people, why, I meant axe murderers. This guy.
If you're describing a group of people and their
conventional views
and their mentality, okay, I would not have used that word. But in the context of a longer article where he's talking about Tea Party people, he's openly calling them racist, he's openly calling them Dixiecrats, and then he says what he should have said is people with conservative views or people with these views, even the word these would have worked out just fine, have to suffer a gag reflex because they're racist. No one had a problem with the article. He should never have used the word conventional. Obviously, what he's saying is to them it's conventional. And maybe I'm just apologizing for him, and maybe that's not fair. But
I'm glad you are because I'm glad you are, and I'll tell you why.
I expected worse when I read the article. Yeah. I'll just say.
Well, I'm glad you are because this is the dynamic we need in the show. I don't want a show where everybody sits around and passes each other on the back and talks about how right they are. So I'm glad.
I mean, I think
that there's somebody to challenge my argument.
I think he
makes it a lot more fun.
An old, out of touch liberal. I think he is liberal. Actually. I think he is. Liberal, but I think he's a liberal of a certain age where, liberals of my age, who even notices an interracial marriage? It's just, it's nothing. But
he barfs at the very sight of them, or at least he's saying some conventional people with conventional views.
He grew up at a time when the majority of white people, I mean, guess who's coming to dinner was what, 1968?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So when Sidney Poitier comes in and is perfect and then there's a huge issue. And my problem with the movie is that he's perfect because people aren't perfect like that. I mean, he's like designed inventions
that
save the world. I mean,
you had to make the point.
But the point is clearly the 1960s, people had a huge problem with interracial marriage. Some people still do today. Not that many. Maybe one in eight Americans still do.
Mostly apparently. Tea Party members.
Yeah, exactly. But there's no doubt. I mean, he's, what, 60s, 70s years old?
I don't care if he's 170.
He grew up in an age where that used to be the conventional
version. Well, he needs to start writing back. He needs to find a time machine and go back to that age and write. Because today what he wrote was people with conventional. And
interracial marriages, but
then
a lot of these people don't.
Now, he writes people with conventional views. And when he defends it, he says people with extreme right-wing views.
That's
now,
true. He's clearly backing down from the wrong word he chose.
You know, I taught at a community college. I didn't teach at Harvard. I didn't teach it, you know, I didn't teach it at some at Vine covered university. Yeah, I taught it at a community college.
Okay. He's a Washington Post college.
So I taught it at a community college. And if I had, let's say, a test with an essay question and somebody used the word conventional, where the word that was supposed to be used was extreme, guess what, Mark? I'd put an X through that one, well, and they wouldn't get credit for that question.
He should have been a little more apologetic. I mean, he should have said, not I don't understand it, but I can understand how people looking at this paragraph alone might be very upset. What I meant was, and inartfully phrased was, he could have said that, a little more humble, to use the word we started, about this whole thing. So I don't like his sort of lack of humility. His editor said it was inartful to leave that word in there. So at least he
basically is saying, can you have two people that – I love words like – inartful, unfortunate.
It's a mistake.
Yeah.
Just say it.
Unfortunate.
We screwed up.
You know, some guy takes a baseball bat and beats another guy to death and says it was an unfortunate occurrence.
I got to give the president credit. He came out on air. He did a press conference yesterday where he said, we fumbled. We screwed up. I mean, he didn't use the word screwed up, but he basically made it very clear that they screwed up. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know what? It's on me. He says, sometimes the press makes up all kinds of things about what I do, which they do, and right-wingers make up all kinds of things, which they do. But this time, you got me. My fault. The website should have gone out right. In hindsight, we should have prepared for it 2 years earlier. And I appreciate
a guy. That's a responsible thing to do.
I appreciate a guy who, when they make a mistake, admits it. And, you know, it was a mistake. No one's going to defend healthcare.gov as it existed on October 1st. If you did that, you're just blind.
You're blind.
President, you know, did not do the rollout right. Now, obviously, he's not an IT guy, but he didn't hire the right IT guys to do it.
Just like Medicare Part D and just like Romney
Care, they had the exact
same problems as Medicare Part D and Romney Care.
And Social Security and Medicare when they first started.
Nobody's bringing that up.
I bring it up all the time.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know,
I always bring
media.
Up because Medicare Part D, George Bush's plan,
you won't see
the
Richard,
website
you,
wasn't working as late as November 8th. It was also due January 1st.
Right.
And so at least healthcare.gov was working on November 8th better than the Bush website was.
Well, but Richard Cohen sure ain't going to bring it up because Richard Cohen expects us to believe that when he uses the word conventional, he really means extreme, and he's hurt because we would hold a man who is a columnist for the Washington Post actually responsible for the words that he's written that are taken literally in the context with which they are written. Because if you go by what those words mean, then you can't defend him. You have to redefine what he says. You have to reinterpret what he says away from what he said and say, well, let's just go with what he meant. Well, the truth is we don't know what he meant, and I am going to hold him responsible for what he said.
I think it's a mountain.
So let me give out the number. What do you think? Are you a Richard Cohen fan? Do you think he's okay?
Would you
line your birdcage with the Washington Post from now on? Because trust me, my post days are over. I'm a big Skins fan and a Wizards fan and stuff like that. You know, and I like the W guys, the Nationals. I like them all, but I ain't reading about them in the Post anymore. You are Yahoo Sports or something. I sure ain't going to read about him in the Washington.
Fred
Hyatt
said he should have edited the Washington Post editorial page editor. Defended the column, but said he should have could have edited it more carefully.
Oh, really?
Anyone reading Richard's entire column will see he's still just saying that some Americans still have a hard time dealing with interracial marriage. I erred in not editing that one sentence more carefully to make sure it could not be misinterpreted.
Well, he's already wrong.
Cohen said, look, maybe the word was inappropriate. He should have said maybe because it was.
Maybe?
Or maybe I could have used a different word, but you're talking to someone who's written, I don't know, 100 columns.
And every one of them was garbage.
In favor of interracial marriage and same-sex marriage.
So what he's saying is anyone who reads it, which would include Garland, I mean, part of anyone, or of course, I don't know, the way they use words like conventional, anyone probably means my brother-in-law or the guy whose check I signed. When I said anyone, what I meant was my brother-in-law. because it was badly written. So what he says is anyone who reads it, would certainly agree with me. Well, then why are you getting slammed from coast to coast if anyone would read it and agree with you that he didn't mean anything?
I guess here's my
problem. Why is it that no one agrees with you?
I guess here's my problem.
But when he said anyone would agree with it, what he meant was no one would agree with him.
Here's my problem making a big deal out of this. Clearly it was wrong. Clearly he used the wrong words. I don't think anyone can dispute that. I guess I just think that we have some real enemies out there, you know, Ted
Richard
Cruz,
Cohen.
Sarah Palin. No, Richard Cohen's not an enemy.
No,
he's a fumbler.
No, he's not a fumbler.
He's a fumbler. He's not actively taking the ball and running it against our team. He's on our team, and he fumbles a lot. Too much. Fine. He's incompetent, not malicious.
He's putting hot pepper in our cleats and in our underwear we won't be able to play on the field for long.
I think he's incompetent, not malicious. That's what I think.
I think he's maliciously incompetent.
All right.
202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. What do you think about Richard Cohen? What do you think about with the Washington Post? What do you think about editorial? What do you think
You're
about
You're going to throw away the whole Washington Post because this one guy wrote this one column with this one word that was wrong? Really?
No.
Okay.
I think it's a damn good newspaper. I'm going to throw away the Washington Post because Richard Cohen wrote that malicious article.
My God.
And because
it's an overreaction.
Because his editor said that's okay, and if the Washington Post thinks that's fine with them, it's fine with them. But it ain't going to be fine.
I get angry at all kinds of things. 202-588-0893. But I think it's still a very good newspaper.
202. I'm not saying it ain't a good newspaper. I'm saying I've just read it for the last time and went to there. Forget it.
I think that's too harsh.
You know what? When ESPN hired Rush Limbaugh a couple years ago. I sent them an email, and I said,
different.
That's it. Yeah. I'm not watching ESPN
that's
anymore.
Different.
I'm not doing anything.
That's different.
Nothing to do with
Rush
you.
Limbaugh is malicious. Limbaugh is malicious and racist.
And guess who else I cut loose? Applebee's and Papa John's.
Well, Papa John's didn't want to pay the $0.15 a pizza.
Both of them
and the other place, you know, Walmart.
Yeah, well, Walmart.
What did Applebee's do?
The same thing. One of their guys said the stuff about Obamacare or whatever. They need to stay out of politics and serve food.
That's true.
The Applebee's biggest problem is their menu. You know, I mean, the politics is the least of their
problem.
That's
true. That's like that pasta manufacturer in Italy. Who's like, I would have gay people sell my product. It's like, what are you?
They won't eat it already. It's garbage.
Exactly. Even Barella, I think it was.
You're right. Yeah.
I hope I get it right because I don't want to say the wrong company in the air. But the point is that even if CEOs have racist or homophobic views, they're idiotic for expressing them publicly because they're going to lose business.
What's the place? Whole Foods. With the biggest ripoff in the world. And that guy's a big libertarian.
He is?
Yeah. And
Whole Foods?
Oh, yeah.
Because all the liberals go to Whole Foods.
Yeah, and he takes their money. Oh, and I don't know if you've been to Whole Foods.
I'm not really a Whole Foods guy.
I go to Mom's Organic and places like that. Half the stuff in Whole Foods is not organic. It'll say conventional over it, and they'll still like mark it up twice the price of regular stuff because it's like in a nice wooden crate and looks
Trader
organic.
Joe's okay?
Trader Joe's, I like Trader Joe's.
All right, okay.
But at any rate,
we can buy something somewhere.
Okay.
We got callers.
Man, we got callers.
We got a lot of callers.
Let's start with Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Well, Mike. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So just a quick read on Richard Cohen, excuse the pun. I think that, you know, he's when you read his words, as you say, if he wants to pretend he meant something different, it was a clearly racist remark. He deserves what he gets, and I would be glad not to see him in print again. As for the Post, I'll probably continue reading the Post. You know, because there's other items of value in there, and I don't know if we can hold the whole Post responsible for his racism.
Some of us can, namely me. But I understand.
Let me ask you, Mike. Have you read the entire Cohen editorial?
Yeah.
Okay. Because to me, that one paragraph stands out like a sore thumb. It's clearly
it does.
Wrong.
The rest of it sort of falls away.
But I don't think it's in context with the rest of the article, which is why I think he actually meant something else, even though he clearly wrote the wrong
But word. We can't hold him responsible for what you think he meant. We can hold him responsible for what he wrote and what it meant.
But do we let
clearly in this day and age, with the way that public opinion has clearly changed and the way that things are going with now 16 states and the district approving gay marriage.
Right.
But he says,
you know,
he exults.
It's just so out of touch.
He said he exults in interracial marriage and same sex.
Yeah, after he got caught, he said it. I don't blame him.
Well, caught. Yeah. I mean,
bank robbers are always against bank robbery after they get caught robbing one.
Bank robbers do it in the middle of the night when they think no one will read it. This guy printed it in the light of day, which is why I think it was incompetent, non-malicious.
Okay. Right. Well, thanks a lot. Well,
thanks, Mike.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
Thanks for taking my call. Can I make one more comment?
Sure.
Yes, and then we got to go to break.
Little off topic, just. People don't go out shopping on Thanksgiving. We don't want to reward the retailers that are bringing
good point.
Their hard
you,
workers in on Thanksgiving.
Save it
Thank
for
you.
Black
Thanks
for
Have a great night.
Thanks a lot, Mike. We've got three more callers. Be patient. We're going to go away for 1 minute, come back, and we're going straight to callers. We got James next.
at 89.3 FM.
This is member supported.
WPFW, Washington.
Thanks for listening to the Just.
Garland Nixon and Mark Levine, News Views.
Back at you.
Back at right here, WPFW 89.3 FM in Washington, D.C. on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. Mark, before we go back to callers, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how do they do?
Go to marklevinetalk.com. Check out. I've actually, I'm going to be on Channel 8 tonight at 8 p.m. and 11 p.m. on Capital Insider talking about Obamacare and a host of other things.
News Channel 8.
News Channel 8.
Oh.
So check that out.
At 8 p.m.
And repeated at 11 p.m. if you miss it.
Go so see Mark. You can see Mark Levine. You've never seen him. You don't know what he looks like. Turn on Channel 8 at 8 p.m. and 11, and you'll see Mark talking the good talk. And I'm sure it'll be great. I'm going to check it out. Also, Mark
Levine. And you know what? Carl and I do other shows that you can find out by going to marklevinetalk.com. Just
That's
go
it.
There and you can hear us. If you enjoy News Views, you can. Yep. We do more than this. So
and all of these shows are, you know, do you want to hear this show? You want to hear week after week show? Guess what?
They're all archived.
Marklevinetalk.com. They're also, you can go to WPFW and they're archived here. You can go to Mark
for a few weeks. Talk. But yeah. Me, you can find something from a year ago.
Yeah, marklevinetalk.com. Go right there. You can look through. How do you have them named what the show
is?
Yeah,
what
about?
You do is you just go to the archive. Mm-hmm. And you can type whatever your issue is. You can type abortion or type immigration or type Richard Cohen, whatever it is. You type it, and it'll show that you know we've probably did 10 shows on Trayvon Martin. We probably did 100 shows on Obamacare, and they'll all be there.
Listen. Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, and where are you on Twitter?
Follow me at Mark Levine Talk. So it's MarkLevineTalk. And I'll let you know whenever I'm going to be on
and
the
I'm
air.
And I'm at Garland Nixon. James, welcome to WPFW. James?
Yes.
Hi,
welcome
James.
To WPFW.
Oh, hi. Look, I have a question.
Sure.
Let me first declare myself. I'm a 73-year-old white man who started off as a reporter in the Deep South in the 50s.
Okay.
When interracial marriage was a felony.
Right.
I also have two African-American nephews whom I love more than life itself. My question is, have you all any evidence or have you either bothered to check with African-American women about how they feel about interracial marriage, which largely still is black men and white women?
I actually know quite a few couples where it's white men and black women, but
overall he's right. Largely,
yeah, it'd be interesting to see what statistics are. If it's 2-1, look, people can marry whomever they please. As far as I'm concerned,
if you know how black women.
Well, I don't think I dare say black women and pretend that that's some monolithic group. I mean, I think the answer is there's some black women that. Want to just marry black men. There are some black women that would marry any men. There's some black women that want to marry women.
Well, let me throw in something on our caller's side.
Your answer is no. You haven't done the work.
Right.
No, what I'm telling you is that it's not a monolithic group. I know lots of black women.
And what I see on the Internet, all sorts of surveys that show a great deal of resentment among black women.
There are some black women that resent black men who marry outside the race. I know that's true.
And I would
quantify that.
Right. And I would.
I don't know how to quantify.
I would say, along with our caller, based on I have my daughter that took all this kind of stuff in school, you know, and that's what her degree is.
I don't have the numbers if that's your
question.
And
she talked to me about it, saying one time that black women are the least likely to marry someone from another race. That basically, here's the issue: a lot of black women have trouble finding a husband, and so I guess when black guys marry, you know, Filipinos and white girls and all these other people, it kind of freaks them out a little bit because the numbers are so hard against them that they have a lot of trouble marrying. So,
marry whomever you love,
and I say.
Won't be worried about
And what I say is this, it's understandable from the perspective of they have a lot of trouble finding a husband. And I don't think it's just about race that they don't want to marry the white women. It's, hey, we got so few black men, don't marry anybody but us. But go ahead, let's let our caller talk. Let's give him his turn.
Comment is,
go ahead.
you shouldn't really pay attention to Cohen. He's a sloppy writer. He always has been.
Yeah.
And it's no reason to stop reading the Washington Post. You just don't have to read him. I don't.
Yeah.
Thank you both. God bless
you. All right. Thank you very much. Great call.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Listen, I'm not saying – I admit I don't have the numbers. I can't tell you how many black women would say this thing, but – I know all kinds of black women, and there's all kinds of views among them, just like any group, any subgroup of people. There, and I happen to know a number of interracial couples of white men and black women, and Latino men and black women, Latino. I mean, just all mixtures.
And as I said, Mark, my experience is with black women, it's not about race. It's about a lot of black women have trouble finding eligible black men, and so when black men marry any other racist, to some extent, let me say this, and I hear this enough, to some extent there is a level of resentment that is born of fear, that is born of frustration that, you know, geez, I have enough trouble finding a black guy to marry, and now they're marrying everybody else but us.
Let me take this in another direction, and it's kinda understandable, which might get a bunch of people angry at me, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Who do you think you are, Richard Cohen?
I'm going there. I think some of the reasons why some black women are concerned not of a black men is not because black men are off marrying white women. It's because black men are less likely to marry. I'm about to say something horrible, but I think they are, and as a community, than men of other races. I think you'll find fewer marriages among black men than among white men, Asian men, Latino men, and others.
There are a variety.
Am I right about that?
There are a variety.
Dare I say that? Yeah, is it racist to say that?
There are a variety of dynamics. There are a variety of things that create the dynamic that black women have to contend with, which is not enough eligible black men. Everything from prison, you know, the whole school to prison complex. You know what I mean?
I think that black couples who have kids together are less likely to get married than, and maybe I'm wrong about this, than, say, an Asian couple that has kids together. In other words, if they have kids, they're more likely to go ahead and get married. And I think black culture doesn't require them to get married.
I think it's just a numbers game. I think in my experience, talk with black women, and I'm not a black woman, but I'm sure somebody will call in and let us know what time it is, as they say. But I think it's the issue. One of the big issues is it's a sheer numbers game. We're getting away from Richard Cohen, and I was trying to, you know, beat the living snot out of him.
I'm actually going into a more controversial issue, I think, with this. But go ahead.
But let me finish beating up on Richard Cohen.
Hand me my head. Go for it.
Let's not him get off. Alec? Wait a minute. This could be Alec, the organization that does.
I don't think
you don't think so. Alec, welcome to WPFW.
Hi, Alec.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Wonderful.
Man, you totally, fried my brain now because you took it on this other tangent. I'm like, should I go with the black marriage thing?
Go wherever you want, Alec.
We give you lots of things out there. Pick what you wish. Richard Cohen, we'll start with him.
Okay, well, the Cohen thing, I mean, you know, I think that the description of he's on our team but a fumbler is pretty accurate. And I think he's, you know, I'm kind of surprised that, you know, he's obviously kicked your dog at some point, man, but he, you know, I think he just got caught up on one word, and it could have been that he was just missing the word GOP after conventional, you know, conventional GOP,
maybe.
Word. So, I mean, you know, hey, I'm going to forgive my president for, like, his, like, slip-up. You know, I guess I'm going to forgive this guy in Article 2. But I will say I think he's probably getting caught up in a larger picture that's going on with the media and the newspapers. They're trying to push their writers and stuff to be way, way more, like, controversial stuff and prerogative. So they want to get their readership up just the same way CNN doesn't know what the hell to do, wants to get their viewership up. So no one's doing news anymore. Everyone's trying to see who can yell the loudest and be Rush Limbaugh.
The whole shock jock kind of thing going on. There, you know, and there could be, to some extent, there could be an element
of that. He's trying
to
be provocative because that's what sells.
And, you know, I have done in media, you know, some TV, you know, remember Mark and I used to go on Follow the Money there on Fox in New York, and they were always looking for something to go viral.
Oh, yeah.
They were always looking for somebody to say something that was going to go viral, as they said. So, you know, there is an element of that in the media. There's money to be made.
Sensationalism sells.
Yep. there's money to be made by getting your name out there. You write something that hits, but unfortunately,
listen,
for Richard Cohen.
I just wrote a very strongly written article. Maybe that's why I'm a little defensive here, even though I wouldn't say that.
You're not going to write anything like
no,
that.
No, I'm not going to write anything like that. But I tell you what I wrote just before the Virginia election, and I can defend it. I wrote about the attorney general candidate who just lost by 164 votes, Mark Obenchain. I said, if you hate puppies and like rape, you'll love this candidate. And then I go in and explain how he wouldn't regulate puppy mills and mistreated them and how raped women have to bear the rapist baby. And so I explained myself, but did I use a sensationalist headline to get people to read my article?
Well, let me
guilty
know.
As charged.
Mark,
of course I did.
If you're describing a Tea Party member, that's not actually sensational.
Well, not to you. Other people thought it was a very sensational headline.
I would call
headline.
That conventional.
Well, there you
I know
go.
Richard Cohen, but
there,
that's
there you go. But I
that's
understand
conventional beliefs about the Tea Party.
I understand the search
but
for sensational headlines.
Before this goes any before this thing goes any further. We got to let everybody know, and we must mention that over there on the other side of the studio, there's a guy by the name of Bill Witherspoon who we've got to give his credit. But Bill is a guy, let me tell you, we're looking at all kinds of LED lights going up and down. There's things blinking. There's an, what's the 8.0 something to change? And I don't know what all this stuff is. All I know is this. If Mark and I were over there running the board, this is what you'd hear.
Yeah.
50 straight minutes.
Or maybe just screeching sounds.
Yeah,
you'd
hear us crying because we couldn't figure it out. You'd probably hear us cursing and saying
Bill,
words.
Bill's a great guy.
Because we wouldn't know we were on the
air.
He's
very calm. You and I are very animated. Yeah, yeah. And Bill it just seems like nothing bothers you.
Bill Witherspoon makes it happen. So we want to thank you, Bill Witherspoon.
You
make News Views. Mark and I are we're just here hanging out. You actually make the show.
That's true.
Go out there so people can listen to it. Who's next? Hank. 202-588-0893. We've got room for more callers. 202-588-0893. Hank.
Hi, Hank.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Wonderful.
We're all right.
I want to say that I cannot but agree with you that still Bill does a good job. And and I've known your guy with the Washington Post since 1974. I've followed him.
Okay.
Followed his career. So he's been writing for a long time.
Yes, he has.
He's one of their premier writers,
mm-hmm.
and I've observed the slant that he puts on his articles, and I cannot say he is without bias. I cannot say that.
Agreed.
So I agree with you, and that was not a mistake when he wrote the article. I have not read it, but from listening to you, that was not a mistake, knowing what he has done in the past on that issue. Now, getting back to the black woman issue.
Yeah.
You're right on time. They feel like they're being cheated. Somebody's taking all their men, and that's why they are opposed to interracial marriage.
You're right.
That's why some of them are.
I think that's why.
But I want to address.
And let me say this. I won't say oppose racial interracial. Yeah, I think that's
why
a little strong.
It annoys them.
I think they're a little. No, let me use this word. I think there's a level of frustration.
Well, yeah.
You know, that it's not, they don't oppose it. I think there's a level, and I think it's a legitimate level of frustration for black women because they want a family, they want to be married, and when the reality
Well, they should just right. seek white men and when Asian the, when, men and Latino
well,
men.
They're
and,
the
and,
least,
and,
that's the least likely group
you know,
to marry to be married out of their race.
You know, if they're frustrated by black men going for non-black women, they should seek non-black
men. That's not
themselves.
The issue. It's a numbers game, and the numbers aren't there. And historically, this isn't the first society. I mean, look at the old Roman societies when all the men went off to war and old societies where men could have a number of wives, and that was because half the men were in the army and they weren't. Well, these dynamics happen within societies. And all I'm saying
I want
is,
a black woman
black
to call
women
in
because
it's not
about race.
I don't feel I want a black woman to call
well,
and tell
I'm afraid
her what
one
she
is,
thinks.
And I'm going to get cursed out.
Go ahead. I don't want to speak
for them. Let's let Hank finish before we move on.
Look at the prison population.
Yeah.
And you'll find out why they're frustrated.
Yeah. Every time. Let me add this. That's a whole nother show. Marijuana should be legal because there's a whole lot of young people of all races, a lot of young black men who are in jail for a joint. And I was a cop for 27 years, and I will make the argument every day. Why are they arresting people for marijuana? We got to have a show there, Mark.
Well, actually, D.C. is going a good distance here to allow medical marijuana.
Yeah, but that ain't it. They're still going to be locking people up around the country. You know, we got to change
yes,
our society.
But you're right. I would
marijuana,
legalize,
you know,
I would legalize
drink.
It. I would tax it, make sure it's pure, yeah. Not going to harm anybody. And yeah,
there's country. The country
and
where
I still,
it's legal.
And I still put you in prison if you smoke while high. I mean, if you
smoke while high,
high
it's hard
drive,
not to.
If you drive while high, that's
I would
what
put you
say.
In prison. I'd do the same as actually.
It's
no,
like drunk driving,
but you
it's,
know,
it's dangerous.
No, it ain't. Hey, let me tell you why. Somebody behind you driving, they're going to be paranoid. They're probably doing 20 miles an hour. Now, Lord knows if there's a McDonald's, they're going to cross the street. You know, they'll probably cross in front of 10 cars to eat because they'll probably have the munchies. Okay, who's next? Debbie. Oh, we got a lot of callers. Debbie, next. Welcome to
WTF. Hi, Debbie.
Yes, I'm so glad you brought up this column. It was it's offensive. It was unprintable. He should have been fired.
Yes! Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Debbie.
And also getting to marijuana, I think I really read a long, long article in the New York Times. And even the police chiefs were saying in California after 10 years of experience, this is so much better than we anticipated. We don't have all the drunk drivers anymore. We don't have all the husbands beating up their wives anymore. People are shifting from alcohol to marijuana, and our job is a whole lot easier.
Yeah. No, I would definitely legalize marijuana.
I was a police officer, and here's the thing.
Yeah.
When a cop, let's say he's arresting someone for marijuana, you've got a guy that you're paying $50,000, $60,000 a year to do this. Meanwhile, somebody out on the street, you know, is getting chased by a madman with an axe or whatever. You know, some killer is running around. Houses are being broken into. And some guy that's not bothering anybody is sitting on his porch smoking. Here's the thing about it.
Yep.
I don't smoke marijuana. I wouldn't. I have no desire to. But I don't drink either.
Yeah.
I don't eat meat. I'm not trying to stop people from eating hamburgers.
You have no fun whatsoever, do you?
Lots of fun. There's just no meat and alcohol involved.
You guys, don't forget, all the rich and the poor are supposed to be dealt with evenly in our justice system. How many people have gone to jail for almost wrecking this economy?
Wow.
You're right.
None.
No, but Lord knows they should walk down the street with a joint in their hand. You could.
Well, I don't know.
You could take $5 trillion out of the economy and run off to the, you know, and run for president.
Anyway, I love your program.
Thank you so much for calling.
Who's next? Omar.
Omar. Hello, Omar.
Hello. How are you doing?
We're good.
I wanted to get a more nuanced perspective on the issue raised about the objections or resentment or what have you of African-American women to what has been labeled interracial marriage. I think that the slant that I'm going to put on this is more about, I'm going to use the word ethnic as opposed to racial.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to point out that a lot of African-American women don't like it when African-American men, by which I mean legacy Afro-North American men, marry women outside of that specific community.
Mm-hmm.
They have an issue with people marrying Haitians or Nigerians, mm-hmm, or others who may also be.
And therefore, it's not a racial marriage. I get exactly your point. They want to keep the ethnicity. They want to keep the culture that they grew up with, and they're afraid that people who marry outside that culture lose the culture.
No.
That's not what you're saying?
No. I'm simply saying that let's think in terms of bona fide populations. The whole concept of race, I'm an anthropologist, so I can talk about that a long time, but the whole concept of race is bogus.
It's an artificial construct. Absolutely.
Well, I'm talking about something else, but what I'm just simply trying to say is that there are group dynamics, and there are people who might prefer to, and I don't know about how much people think in terms of keeping culture, but I'm just trying to comment on, given the numbers and given the way society is stratified, when you have for Afro-North American women specifically, they would like people to have a pool of men available from that specific, mm-hmm, community, mm-hmm, and they are not necessarily, they're not necessarily Pan-Africanist, so
right,
they're not necessarily interested in marrying the black Dominican.
Right.
And the black Dominican may sometimes not even realize that they're black, but that's another, mm-hmm, that's another comment. Just simply trying to say that I haven't.
Uh-oh, I think
we lost him.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Hank. I think we lost you. But I understand what he's saying, and that is, you know, it's somebody who identifies very, very closely with their culture, with their background, and they will look for the. But it makes sense. But, Mark, we must now stand aside because we have Lisa, who is described on the screen as I'm reading now as a black woman.
See, I asked black women to call, and Lisa, thank you for answering my
call.
Shall
receive.
Yes.
Oh, Lisa, but you have to turn it. Lisa, you have to turn the radio down. You've got your radio on in the background, and we can hear this echo, and it's confusing us.
I'm talking through my car phone.
Okay. Well, take off the speaker phone and speak directly into the phone. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Then we'll hear you better.
Let me pull over.
Yeah, pull over a little bit. So
yeah,
while she's pulling over,
go ahead.
You done? Okay, go ahead.
No, I'm off.
Okay, we can hear you loud and clear.
Much
okay,
better.
Mark
ahead,
and I shall be quiet, and we want to listen to what you have to say.
Yes. So
Uh-oh,
we're still hearing sounds in the background. Is your radio on?
I turned the radio off.
Ah, okay, that's much better.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I turned the radio off.
Great. Right,
okay, so I caught the intel, but I heard Mark said, if you're black, call. So, of course, I'm getting really hyped in the car because I'm like, what are they talking about? Here's the issue.
Go ahead.
Okay. You hear me say hype because I'm from New York. But one of the things that I've noticed is that one of the several problems that I have when I see, and I'm in an interracial relationship right now.
Okay.
But one of the problems that I see is that, first of all, we say, well, why don't we go ahead and have an interracial marriage, particularly if you're talking about Caucasian or white men.
They it could be Asian or Latino.
To me, growing up in New York, that's not really interracial. I mean, I guess it just depends on where you grew up.
Right, right, right.
But when you're talking about white men, typically they're not interested in black women, okay? If you look on now, they have these sort of diverse commercials on TV, IKEA, or these different commercials. You don't see a black woman with a white man.
It's true.
You see black men with white women. So what does that say? To me, when I see that, I get upset. Why? Are they saying that black women are incapable of being in a relationship and having a marriage? Why is it that they're only portraying black men with white women?
I can't speak for advertisers. You should have a problem with it. Part of the reason I'm having trouble is because some of my closest friends in the world is a couple with a white man and a black woman, and I'm the godfather of their
child. But they're the exception, not the rule.
I guess they are the exception.
I think that's a rarity because, you know what? Men in general, whether they're black, white, Asian, doesn't matter. They are more likely to be open to any race than women.
Right.
You see that? I live in Rockville. You see a lot of white men with Asian women. Asian men feel the same way.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Because the men make the choice. They can go, no matter what their nationality or race, they make the choice. And they're always the ones in the forefront crossing.
They're the aggressor,
cultural or racial lines.
Let me throw something out there. And I think this is a part of it. Because in our society, beauty is portrayed as European features.
You'll have a lot
of people that get nose jobs, people who are of various nationalities, Greek people, Jewish people, various people, black people, who get nose jobs to make their nose look more European. In our society, beauty is portrayed as Western European, Swedish, or something like that.
It has been for hundreds of years.
So the beauty of black women, that's not portrayed as beauty. Now, maybe a Beyonce who has the equivalent of the blonde hair, she's got the red hair, and she's got very European features, and she's portrayed as, oh my gosh, she's so beautiful, but they portray a darker skin, a Chaka Khan, a woman with more black features.
A sister with me with some booty and natural hair.
Well,
that's what I'm talking about.
That's why the song I Like Big Butts got so popular, because I think people were like, wow, black men really, it's a different standard of beauty.
You know, when I was a young man way back in my 20s, I think it was about 100 years ago, dating, I guess I was just superficial, because if a woman, I dated various nationalities, and I was so superficial. If they had a nice shape,
all about the booty. Is that what you're saying, Garland?
Yeah, nice. When I was a young man.
This is true confessions right here on News News today. Garland is all about the booty. We now know this.
There's no more for me.
But I think, guys, the bottom line is, if it was possible, or if our beauty, as you said, was more seen in culture and people, you will see a lot more.
I do think that you're more likely to see people of different cultures and shapes today than you did 10 years ago.
We're still a long ways. But thanks for the call. I hate to cut you off. We're running out of time, so we're going to take one more call. Thank you for listening, and keep in touch and listen to us every week.
Thank you, Lisa.
Well, this is the last. We only got really room for one more call. Gail, do me a favor. You have to turn your radio off because there's an echo, so we're good.
I'm here.
Okay, Gail.
Okay, go ahead, Gail.
It's our Gail. Yes, actually, the last caller made a lot of points. I'm a 55-year-old black woman, single, happy to be single. But I grew up at a time in which, to date interracially, my father had a lot to say about that happening and what it meant. and became very hurtful than to have other black men criticize you if you were out with a friend.
Mm-hmm,
just a friend.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Nothing else is going on. And then the next day you're in line at the movies and they've got, you know, a white woman at their side, clearly dating. So there's a lot of hurt there. And I think it's, especially to be a professional black woman, there's always the issue of money. There's always the issue of something.
Mm-hmm.
You're too bossy, you're too this. But bottom line, I think the only thing that hurts me the most is this idea that you're not good enough.
Right.
You're not pretty enough.
Yep.
You're dark, you have natural hair, you got a great personality. Everybody loves you, and you're a great friend, but not to date. And so there's just a lot of stuff that we have to get over ourselves. And I'm working through that because I'm a fantastic person, and I don't mind dating interracially. Or what would be nice is sometimes you just, you know, there's that brother that's out there that's so funny.
Well, thank
so
you
men,
very much.
So, man, men out there in the WPFW world, Gail is attractive. She's single. She's got a great personality. If you need to know Gail, just give us a call, and we'll give you her number.
Yeah.
Well, we can do anything here on News Views, even a dating service.
Well, we don't have your number, Gail, so we're okay.
That's okay. I'll be on farmers.com.
Okay.
You can email one of us, and we'll get it.
Well, I'm hearing the music. Thank you, Gail. I appreciate you listening.
Thank you, Gail.
I'm hearing the music coming in. You're listening to News Views on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. with Garland Nixon and
Mark Levine.
And as you can hear, if you've heard it tonight, this was a great show.
It was
we have a lot
show.
Of fun. How we got from Richard Cohen to black women in interracial dating, I don't know, to me telling the truth about when I was a young man.
All we learned today was you like booty.
When I was
that's
a young
I heard,
man.
That's what I heard
when
today.
I was young, if they had a nice shape. That was the only thing I was concerned with. I got to be there. No point in lying about that.
It's all good, Garland.
But if you want to get in touch with me, at Garland Nixon on Twitter, Garland Nixon on Facebook, or garlandn@gmail.com. Mark?
Follow me at Mark Levine Talk. My website's marklevinetalk.com. My Facebook is facebook.com/marklevinetalk. Stay in touch. We all want to hear from you.
And now that this foolishness is out of the way, we've got a real radio show.
There you go.
We've
calm
got
down.
Robin's
great
plays.
Jazz.
We got some great music. And don't change the dial. You're going to hear. Well, I'm sure you know, because if you're a regular listener here, then
that's
you
right.
listen to Robin's Place afterwards, and you know that's probably the finest radio in America today.
And thank you for listening to us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the just-completed Public Affairs or News Program. As a listener-sponsored community radio station, WPFW appreciates your feedback, whether favorable or otherwise. To provide your feedback, even if it is regarding one of our many music programs, simply email us at info@wpfw.org. That's info@wpfw.org. Thanks.
WPFW, Washington.
Out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum. You came along and everything's starting to hum. Still, it's a real good bet the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come, and baby,